Well, they're suffering considerably. These are people who've been living in very abject circumstances, many of them in Somalia itself. Obviously, they're suffering from the civil conflict raging there, also from the drought in the Horn of Africa, which really has taken a great toll on the pastoralists communities and the farmers in Somalia. Many of them have lost all their cattle, their crops have failed, so they set out to seek assistance in the refugee camps in northeast Kenya, also in Ethiopia. And they are walking for days, in some cases for many weeks, to reach refuge in the camp. They have very little food on their journey. I met some families walking, half a village, in fact, who had set out to walk to Dadaab in northeast Kenya. And in addition to having very little food on their journey, to having small children with them who were quite sick, they had been attacked by bandits and robbed of most of their possessions. So really, they were in a pretty bad state by the time they got to Dadaab.
And presumably there's some people, particularly, shall we say, the children or the sick, who don't make it.
We hear many stories from families who arrive in Dadaab who have lost children along the way. I met one man who had buried his wife before he set out from Somalia. Along the way, he buried one of his children. And I asked him what had they died of, and he said he didn't really know, but he suspected hunger. And we do find that even after arriving in the refugee camps, children continue to die. There's a very high rate of malnutrition. That having been said, we can help them tremendously by, particularly the children, by feeding them supplementary and very nutritious, special, ready-to-eat foods, which can revive them enormously in the days after their arrival. But it's a pretty sad spectacle. As I say, there are high rates of malnutrition, and these are people who have greatly suffered.
And are these people continuing to arrive there?
For the past few weeks, they've been arriving at a rate of about 1,000 up to 1,300 people per day. They arrive at the camps. There are, in fact, three refugee camps at Dadaab. Reception centers have been set up at these camps, and the people on arrival queue up. They get wristbanded. They receive a yellow bracelet, which identifies them as refugees. And once they have got this, then they can get the relief rations they so desperately need from the World Food Programme, also non-food items such as blankets and pots and pans and so on, which will help them to establish themselves. There's a huge backlog of people waiting to be officially registered, but these foodstuffs and these non-food items help them to establish themselves while they're waiting for that.
Is it true that the aid organisations are overstretched? That's what I've been hearing.
But there's absolutely no doubt that the whole humanitarian community in Dadaab is overstretched. The systems are really facing tremendous pressure with these huge volumes of refugees turning up every day. My experience was that we are managing to cope. We are ensuring that all those newly received refugees are getting a two-week food ration to tide them over while they're waiting for official registration. That isn't to say that they are wonderful, but Dadaab camps have been full for many years now, so really there's not much room for them, and they camp in these very makeshift settlements on the outskirts, many of them just in thorn twig huts with a few cloths or blankets draped over them. It's very dusty, it's very unpleasant, and the water and sanitation facilities, as you can imagine, for a population, a total population of about 380,000, they leave something to be desired. But I think a lot of the people, and the refugees will tell you this themselves, that they've escaped such awful circumstances in Somalia that they are very glad to find themselves in Dadaab. They're away from fighting and conflict, and they have some assistance, and particularly the children who arrive malnourished, they can get these supplementary foods that bring them round and sustain them. So by comparison with what they have left, Dadaab is an improvement.
I was reading, in fact, some of the stories of these refugees and what they had to endure also on this very arduous journey. I mean, there was a case of a new mother who had been walking for 22 days drinking only water. Are these common stories there?
Well, most of the people I talk to seem to set out with a little maize or whatever they have been able to amass before embarking on their journey. But certainly they are traveling pretty light because they can't carry huge numbers of things, and they have very young children with them often, and they're traveling barefoot, and it's really pretty sad to see them. We were there recently and we just were driving along the road and we saw this huge line of villagers making their way towards their camps, and it's amazing the sort of fortitude with which they progress. Once they get there, they just sort of sink in front of these reception centers onto the ground, and they hardly have any strength to continue. But once they do get their food and their non-food items, I think they rally somewhat, and they set off and they find a place to settle down, and there is a lot of support from within the Somali community itself. People who have nowhere to stay, these refugees often end up camping with other people and getting some support for them. So they are a very sort of welcoming community and help each other out.
Looking at the wider picture, the WFP says that this drought affecting the Horn of Africa region has left millions at the mercy of hunger. How serious is this situation? I mean, and what has been the response from the West?
Well, the situation is extremely serious in that we've had two failed rains at the end of last year and more recently. In some cases in Somalia, people will tell you that the last 2 or 3 years have been failures in terms of the rains which nourish their crops and so on. The pastoralists have herds of camels and goats and cattle which are dying or have died. So it is an extremely serious situation. We estimate at the moment that we're feeding about 6 million people in the Horn of Africa. That could go up to 10 million people in coming months. So it is a dire situation.
You said it could rise to 10 million people. That's a huge number. Is the WFP confident that it can rise to that challenge?
Well, it largely depends on the generosity of donors around the world. We estimate that we have a total shortfall for this operation in the Horn of Africa until the end of the year of about $190 million. That's $190 million, which is a substantial sum. So, as I say, we are very much dependent on the goodwill of the donors, and hopefully with enough support, we will be able to meet the challenge. But it's obviously a very serious situation, and we take nothing for granted.
Is the drought, in fact, deepening?
Well, this, as I say, the drought is the product of a series of years of poor rains. This year has in many areas of the region been the driest year for 60 years. The next rains aren't expected until October. So in the short term, at least, I think we can assume fairly confidently that this situation will continue to deteriorate. A lot depends, of course, on the conflict in Somalia, which is driving many of the refugees towards Kenya and Ethiopia. But as I say, it's not confined just to the Somali refugees who are fleeing their country. It's a regional problem. There are millions of people right across northern Kenya, southern Ethiopia, and Somalia itself who are suffering as a result of this drought. It's a very extensive problem.
And is it almost inevitable to predict that, you know, a considerable number of people are going to die as a result of it?
Well, we've already seen deaths and a lot of cattle lost, crop failure. I think this is the inevitable fallout of this situation, which is the product of a combination of factors, really. In the case of Somalia, obviously, there's the civil war, which has been dragging on there. Then we have the drought itself, which is, I think everyone is agreed, is closely related to climate change. A few years ago, these droughts were much more intermittent, and now they seem to be happening with frightening regularity. And also very high fuel and food prices. We hear of the price of maize, for example, in Kenya rising 160%, the price of sorghum in Somalia having gone up 240%. So these are the sort of things that are really compounding the problem of the drought.